Chapter 14. "Shay?" I asked my suddenly pale phoenix wife, as she watched the Augur Mage sisters walk into the Battle Hall arena like she was in a different time and place. Maybe she was, and I suddenly wished Zoe was next to me for added support, even though I knew she needed to be with a still sickly Rylan. For now, I was on my own, and I watched Shay's emerald eyes light first on the Oryx woman, and then on the slightly taller woman with an impressive pair of backward-curving ibex horns, parting the auburn fall of her straight, waist-length hair. The ibex woman must have been the famous Anwar, and when I snuck a glance at Horus hovering on Shay's left, I saw that same tortured look on his face he was wearing when he related his star-crossed lover's tale. Amaya stopped just a step short like a deer caught in the headlights when her rain-colored eyes landed on the phoenix woman staring at her. The tension was thick, but it only lasted a second because the charged moment was interrupted as the Asher Lord and another giant of a man approached our cluster. "Horus Doler," the man with the striking white and brown crest and the monarch orange eyes of an osprey scrutinized the falcon man with a severe glare.
"I had hoped to never see you in this position again, after last time."
"Councilman Shakane," Horus bowed at the waist in an almost perfect 90-degree angle. "You honor me with your audience." The councilman's sharp, vivid eyes observed Horus. The falcon man held the difficult posture as he stared at his boots with a rigid spine. And although it was clearly uncomfortable, Horus didn't give any indication. Shakane took a few steps forward, scrutinized Horus again for one more beat, and then rested two fingers on the crown of his black-feathered crest.
"Raise your head, my son," the councilman intoned, in a slightly warmer voice. "You have not been found guilty yet."
Yes, my lord, Horus said, and straightened. But I could tell he was nervous inside because he looked just past the intimidating osprey man's shoulder. I'd never known my friend to avoid direct eye contact before, and that alone told me what I needed to know about the VIP. Even Lord Mech had an air of deference about him, so when the councilman's burning gaze landed on me, I automatically bowed my head slightly in respect.
"So, this is Alex Brightwood," Shakane said, and swept toward me in his floor-length black robe.
The heavy medallion clasped to his cape clinked as he leaned down, and I noticed a shape stamped in the gold face. It was simple and appeared to be a combination of two shapes, actually. The top of the symbol looked like a backward C with a dot in the center, and that shape was then balanced on the tip of an upward-pointed carrot. It obviously was a symbol of office, and probably uber-important. But what caught my attention were the two sapphire gems inlaid on either side that sparkled just like the one on my herald blade. My hand itched to grip the spherical pommel, but I refrained in case it was seen as a gesture of belligerence. Something shifted in the air as he seemed to track every micro-expression on my face, and I got the impression nothing slipped past his razor-sharp gaze.
"Interesting," he murmured in his low voice like crushed velvet. "I can see why the stories of you have spread so quickly."
I went to rub the back of my neck in my typical nervous habit, but I caught myself and squared my shoulders with an air of confidence I only half felt.
Thank you for taking the time to sort this out, Councilman.
The Osprey man smirked in a way that didn't quite reach his eyes. "Yes, I would be lying if I didn't say I personally volunteered for the chance to see the traveler who is causing so many tide holes on my home isle. Let us discuss the matter at hand, shall we?"
"I would like to put all of this behind us as soon as we can," I agreed. "What do you need us to do?"
"We will start with Lord Mech's testimony, seeing as how he was of the highest status of the witnesses gathered," Shakane said, in a stiffly formal way that was probably procedural, and then he pulled out something that looked like a glass paperweight shaped like an oversized dewdrop.
Mech seemed to know exactly what to do with the obscure object, and he gripped it in his fist,
and thumped it over his heart just like the typical Aventolian salute I was used to seeing.
"Lord Asher Gavlain Mech," the councilman said, "do you swear that what you attest is of your own convicted will and true to your heart?"
"I attest," the Ramlord recited.
Then he raised the glass bead, pressed the flat side to the center of his forehead, and closed his bronze-colored eyes. A dull throb of light made the paperweight thing glow at the pace of a steady heartbeat, and even when Mech opened his eyes and handed the glass bead back, it continued to retain its pulse.
"Thank you, Lord Asher," the Osprey man said,
as the glow finally died down, and then he turned toward my phoenix wife.
"Is there any kin of the accused who would like to attest on his behalf?"
"I would do so, my lord,"
Shay said, as if she was following her cues in some sort of script I was unaware of.
"And who are you to have the authority to speak for Horus Dolor?"
the Osprey man asked.
"Shaylea of Nata, the beloved sister of the accused,"
she responded. The councilman smiled just barely, and this time the expression melted some of the frosty aura he was emitting as he dropped the same glass bead into her delicate palms. Shay followed the same motion as Mech had, and by the time Shakane fixed his sharp gaze on me, I knew what was coming next and took the object from my wife.
"And finally, the testimony of the dishonored," he said,
and it was a struggle not to roll my eyes. The duelists were so dramatic sometimes. "I, Alex Brightwood, do so swear that what I attest to is of my own convicted will and true to my heart," I said, and tried to curb the sarcasm, but I could tell the keen Osprey man picked up on my minor irritation. Man, nothing got past that guy. So much so that it was almost like he could read my every thought right on my face. He smirked again, and my eyes widened.
Fuck. Uncanny.
"Very well," the councilman said,
and I could almost hear something akin to amusement in his stoic tone.
"I assume you know what comes next, Asher."
Yeah.
I brought the glass bead up, but before I put it to my forehead, I figured I would clarify just for grins. "I just concentrate on the memory, right?"
"Indeed," he said,
and I swear I saw his lip twitch.
"Right,"
I breathed and closed my eyes so I could find that still well of focus inside me. Tick. My hearing slowed to the heavy thump of my heart, and I was almost startled out of my concentration, especially when the acid razor wire sensation of the curse brand stole my breath away.
"Alex."
Mech was suddenly there in front of me with a strong grip on the back of my neck, as if he had been trying to get my attention for a while now.
"Breathe, son."
I gasped and lowered the glass bead that suddenly felt like it weighed 50 pounds. My arm trembled with remembered aftershocks of dull pain, and I white-knuckled the hard surface of the glass to prevent myself from reacting.
What happened?"
I rasped out as I rapidly blinked away the stinging sensation in my eyes.
"Doc, take me. I'm sorry, Alex. I forgot,"
the Ramlord muttered, and moved the hand on the back of my neck down to my shoulder. He gave it a squeeze before he turned to Shakane.
"His memory is intertwined with the trauma of the curse that waylaid him after the duel."
The Osprey man's all-seeing eyes flickered down to my scar and then up again.
"I apologize, but the testimony of the dishonored is non-negotiable," he said.
"Kane, surely my testament, along with Anwar and Amaya," Mech began to argue,
but the councilman slashed up his long-fingered hand.
"That is precisely why I need every angle of this documented, Gavlain," he said. "The fact the Mage Augur is your kin will already cast a shadow over this claim."
The Ramlord growled in the back of his throat, and I was once again reminded of how good it was to be the inspiration of this formidable man's protection instead of the target. "It's all right, Gavlain," I said, and nodded at him when he gave me a dubious look. "I think now that I know what to expect, I'll be okay this time. I just wasn't used to how fresh the memory still feels."
"I should have prepared you better," he said,
and shook his head almost angrily at himself.
The record stone causes the person using it to relive the memory they are focusing on to the last detail. Try to set yourself aside from the memory as best you can.
Okay, I said, and brought the record stone up to my forehead so I could try again.
Breathe, Mech rumbled,
and I could also feel Shay's hand in mine, as a grounding presence. I closed my eyes once more and conjured that fateful duel in my mind's eye. The dank smell of the musty battle hall, the sweat in my eyes, Doler across the hall as he took deadly aim at me with a crossbow. Tick. My adrenaline spiked, and I let the tide of the time trance sweep me up in its current like I usually did whenever my fight-or-flight response kicked in. Only this time, something was very wrong. Burning. My right arm was on fire, and I staggered to the left. Whoosh! I felt a bolt fly inches from my ear. Doler's mocking voice grated on my nerves, and I shook my head in order to clear it as the grotesque image of an Ouroboros invaded my vision. My turn in the sick game of Russian roulette and William Tell. I cocked the crossbow, but the pain in my arm made my aim go off course. Doler's next. A flash. A snake as it ate its own tail. Tick. No, wait. Don't let the time trance... Burning, burning, burning. Stop, goddess, make it stop. My turn again. I remembered the sweat stinging my eyes as it poured down my face and how my fingers felt rheumatic and as stiff as tree roots. My second shot was no good. I only had one shot left, and that was if I could stay alive after Doler took his last turn. But the burning. Could I survive it again if the time trance...
Alex.
A voice like a stabilizing ballast entered my mind, and I rallied my strength. No time trance, miracle of miracles, and Doler's last shot went wide. My turn to finally end this, and my mind was just clear enough to line up my shot with his creepy glass eye. But what was that in the rafters? It was Horace trying to get my attention as he frantically gestured to one of his hands. What did that mean? Inspiration struck as my brain throbbed at the memory of the Goliath's handshake. That hand was corpse cold and hard as steel before it burned the permanent fucking scar into my flesh. That fucking hand was the enchanted artifact, not the eye. Shooting him just in the hand might break the curse, but it wouldn't put him down and prevent him from coming after everyone I loved. The eye it was. Let the curse take me. I fired my shot, and the man's hand reached up to paw at the bolt embedded in his skull. Everything hurt, and I swayed just as dangerously as Doler did. But before either he or I could hit the ground, one of Horace's long feathered arrows found its home as it pinned the Goliath's hand to his face.
Husband!
Shay's wire-taut voice had me gasping to the surface of the present, and I sagged against her like poor Sandra after she was barfed up on the shore at the end of Gravity.
Good job, Alex,
the Ramlord rumbled in his chest, as he helped Shay and took the brunt of my weight.
Do you need anything else?
I asked hoarsely, as Horace gently pried the record stone out of my stiff claw-like fingers, and Shay began to massage the contracted muscles in my forearm to get them to loosen.
Why am I like this?
Your spirit still remembers the violation committed against it.
A voice as playful as the wind winding through the reeds spoke up, and suddenly something round and vaguely familiar was popped into my mouth. I opened eyes I didn't realize I had closed, and stared at the grinning Oryx woman as my tongue worked around one of those round acorn things. Only, instead of tasting like nothing, the little thing suddenly packed a huge flavor that was savory like a prime rib slathered in horseradish, and I actually groaned at the taste.
Whoa,
I said, and marveled at the surprising little nut.
They only taste that way when their properties are needed.
A smile like a blooming daisy unfurled on Amaya's open face.
But take care not to eat too many.
What do you mean? Oh, wait.
The corners of my vision took on a pleasant, shiny, hazy blue color, like cotton candy. And because I was thinking in too many adjectives, I knew I was feeling like I just got stoned on some choice edibles.
I know why now.
Nice.
Are you well, Asher Brightwood?
Big Bird with the rock and roll haircut said, and I winked at him.
Super, I drawled. Carry on, my wayward son.
What did you give him? Horace asked. He's not making any sense. And also, can I have one?
Move,
Shay intoned, as she bodily shoved her brother out of the way, which I was glad for because as much as I liked Horace, Shay was much, much, much prettier to look at.
Hi, I said, as I gazed down at her pretty, pretty face. You are much prettier than your brother.
Oh, darling,
she sighed and pressed the back of her hand against my forehead.
I'm not even offended by that because I'm going to give you so much sodden shit for this, the Falcon Man said with a large grin on his roguish face.
Much, I said with a glare and rolled the nut to the other side of my cheek.
As entertaining as this might be, we really must be pressing on,
the Osprey Man said with his stoic face and eyes and face. But I was on to him and spotted another flicker of a lip twitch.
Ha! Will the mage please conduct her reading?
The councilman asked, and gestured for the Ibex woman to step forward. She bowed her auburn head, and her hair caught the dim torchlight like autumn leaves. When she looked up again, her previously brown eyes shimmered like a kaleidoscope, and she fixed them directly on Horace.
Your arrow?
She said in a voice that sounded a little deeper than her sister's.
I bet Horace would like to give her his arrow.
Amaya gestured something to Shay that had to do with her mouth, and I wondered if the Oryx woman had a toothache until my phoenix wife jiggled my chin. The goba nut fell to the ground.
Hey,
I said quietly, as if she just smacked my ice cream out of my hand. Although, now that the flavor was starting to fade from my mouth, a little of the buzzy feeling started to disappear as well. Those little things were powerful. No wonder Ryland zonked out within 10 seconds. A flash caught my sight, and I returned my attention back to what was going on. Anwar now had one of Horace's arrows held in her glowing palms, and she was staring up at him as if he hung the moon. Horace looked down at her with an equally besotted expression on his face, even though it was tinged a little with sadness.
Yeesh.
If that was the way they always looked at each other, it was no wonder Dolor found out about their illicit elopement. If I was still more than slightly impaired from the goba nut, I probably would have yelled, "Get a room!"
This arrow was not the weapon that took Arcus Dolor's mortal life,
Anwar finally pronounced and handed the Falcon Man his arrow. Then the Ibex woman turned her long-horned head in my direction.
And where is the bolt that struck first?
She asked.
Oh, right.
I reached for the small case at the small of my back and pulled out the bolt Mech had the foresight to recover after the duel. Thank Goddess yet again for Jenner having prepared me for this little detail way ahead of time. I handed over the bolt that was half broken due to having shattered when it hit Dolor's glass eye. Anwar's hands glowed faintly again, and her multicolored irises swirled like an oil stain on the concrete. After a moment of intense staring, the Ibex woman's eyes returned to normal, and she handed me the broken bolt as she stepped back.
This is the weapon that pierced first and thereby killed Arcus Dolor's mortal body,
she said.
Finally, where is a piece of the artifact in question?
I have it,
Mech said as he rummaged around and produced something that looked like the size and shape of a ring box made out of obsidian stone. He was careful about opening the lid and not touching the bleached white rod resting inside as he offered the whole thing to the mage woman. My stomach squirmed when she plucked out the small white rod, because I recognized it was an index finger. Dolor's index finger from his enchanted hand. Nasty. Anwar then approached her sister, and in a magenta-colored orb that reminded me of the bumblebirds, she made the finger float up between them with her mind. Amaya cupped her hands around the finger floating in the force field of magic, as if she was warming her palms around a small flame. As she concentrated, her eyes began to glow such a vivid white it almost made me wish for sunglasses. Then, in a voice that was almost like 10 voices, the Oryx woman made her proclamation.
Ah! The light seized Arcus Dola on the edge of the darkness. His heart was consumed long ago.
She dropped her hands, slowly walked over to the far end of the arena, and stopped right in the place I remember the giant of a man standing.
Such hateful motivation,
Amaya continued in her harsh chorus voice, as her hand clutched at the brown cloak she still wore like it was uncomfortable.
Such rage to kill and maim the person who all blame and failure and humiliation can be laid upon. You!
The crescendo of Amaya's suddenly frenzied pronouncement clashed as she flung an accusing finger out at me.
You! The enemy of my enemy's enemy!
The Oryx woman's multi-octave voice dropped down into a low, unearthly register that shouldn't have been possible coming from a body so small and lithe.
You have upstaged my honor in harboring my son, who is not my son, whom I should have drowned at birth like the pitiful whelp he is. And you, dark interloper, have stolen my pride and livelihood in the form of my daughter. Will suffer.
She cut herself off with a violent cry and dropped to the ground to her knees like a stone. A pang tore through me like shrapnel at the sight of the Oryx woman's tortured shaking. And based on the glances Shay kept exchanging between me and Amaya, I could tell she was feeling the same. There was just something inherently and wholly good about the Augur woman, and I didn't need her magic knowing touch to know how pure her soul was. To see her so affected by such an evil-minded and homicidal psycho made me want to kill the fucker all over again, just for leaving his slimy energy behind like a stinking tar pit. Amaya blinked her unseeing eyes open again and gazed at the rafters. When she spoke next, her voice had changed, and I was surprised to hear it sounded a little like Horus was among the voices she was channeling.
No, he's my friend.
The Oryx woman stood up slowly on her knees.
I can't let you. Not again. You take everything.
Everything.
You will not take this. Not my friend.
She gasped and lifted herself up to her feet, and the arena suddenly plunged into silence as the ethereal Augur woman walked back toward the center and directly toward me.
Better me than them.
She said in a voice that sounded like an amalgamation of my own and several others. Better me than them. My heart thudded heavily in my chest when I heard the deepest conviction I felt at the time echoed back to me. The Oryx woman stopped just inches away from me, and I could feel her radiant body heat as if she was made of sunlight itself.
They are everything to me.
Her hand came up and hovered over my heart, and I had to remind myself to breathe.
Better me than them.
The moment stretched out between us, and as I looked into her fading silver eyes, the connection seemed like it spanned eons across the universe, and yet vanished like the popping of a soap bubble.
You have a good heart, Alex Brightwood,
Amaya murmured before she collapsed backward in her sister's waiting arms. Is she okay? I asked, as I rubbed my knuckles over my breastbone.
She will be fine,
the Ibex woman said, as she first peered up at me with her almond-shaped eyes before she then turned to the silent Osprey man.
Will you be needing any further assessment, Councilman, or will this suffice?
This will do, child,
Shakane said, as he held the record stone up to his forehead, and the stone glowed, even though he didn't close his burning orange gaze. I bet he was a champ at staring contests, and sleeping with his eyes open. And when I caught his lip twitch for real this time, I reminded myself to stop leaving my face so open to his scrutiny.
Kane, Lord Mech said, after the councilman returned the large glass bead back to the soft pouch it came from.
The two men clasped forearms and gave each other a solid shake.
Thank you for arranging all of this. You have been instrumental.
Any time, Gavlain,
he intoned, and then turned his attention onto the humble-looking Horus.
And I am hoping this is the last time I'll be seeing you under these circumstances, my son.
Yes, of course, my lord councilman, thank you.
Horace bowed 90 degrees again, with his fist over his heart.
Horace, look at me,
the observant Osprey man said in his swayed voice, and he waited patiently until Horace straightened.
I alone cannot make the call, but from what I've seen here today, you have only demonstrated the desire to keep your friend from harm. I am confident the evidence gathered will only further prove you only acted in countermeasure due to Arcus's conniving plot.
That's it?
Shay asked, and gripped my hand even harder.
My brother is a free man?
Not until I take my findings back to Aelum. But suffice it to say, you all have nothing to worry about.
The last bit was delivered directly to me, and I dipped my head in respect.
Come, Gavlaine, walk me out. There is more we need to discuss.
Do not leave just yet, the Ramlord said to me,
and then he walked the councilman out of the battle hall. Shay, Horace, and I all looked at each other for a beat before we all broke out into relieved giggling. Then the avian siblings hugged each other strongly, and it was one of those blissful Kodak moments until Shay shoved the Falcon Man away.
Horace!
She raged.
Where have... I mean, how could... Do you have any idea... Ah!
The frustrated Phoenix woman then hid her face in her hands for a tense moment, while the rest of us stood by. But when she lifted her red and gold head again, she was composed and as regal as ever.
It's good to see you again, Chloe and Clara.
Shay said with every bit of upper-crust decorum she was raised with.
Or should I say, Anwar and Amaya? Thank you deeply for the services you have provided to my husband's reputation. The favor done for my brother was an added bonus, and wholly unnecessary.
Shaylee,
Horace said as she glared at him.
But, to show you our gratitude, I would love for you both to stay the night with us at Ithaca. As long as it's all right with you, of course.
My wife said. And suddenly that intense emerald stare was directed at me full blast. Then she lifted an impatient eyebrow as if daring me to refuse, which I was not about to do. Yes, please, let us feed you at least, I said with a smile. Anwar cast her warm brown eyes around to all of us as she held her younger sister under the shelter of her arm.
We will be on Nata for a while yet and have some time to spare,
she said, and tipped her head graciously.
My sister could also use some time to rest. Anna?
The Oryx woman said, but it was ignored.
It's settled then,
Shay said in an overly bright tone, and then she turned sharply on her heels and glided out of the arena.
What? Shay? Shay!
Horace was startled by her hasty exit and ran after her when she refused to slow.
Please talk to me, Shaylee!
It seems like they have some catching up to do, I said, and then gestured toward the exit. Shall we? When we all rallied around our carriage again, it appeared as if Shay was still not speaking with Horace because he was obviously banished to the driver's seat again like a kicked puppy.
Alex,
Mech's voice resonated from behind me, where the Ramlord had just poked his head out of the battle hall's carriage house. I'll be right back, and then we can all go, I said to Horace. And the Falcon Man nodded at me, even though his head was resting against his propped-up fist. What a sad sack. I shook my head with a chuckle and tried to rub some of the lingering tension out of my neck as I went to go see what Mech wanted. Hopefully it would be something quick like a pat on the back or a, hey, let's get the fams together for a barbecue. However, when I saw the councilman was still in the carriage house with that austere expression on his face, I knew it was going to be anything but. What's going on? I asked with a crawling sense of dread, worming its way up my spine.
Keeper Golan has been murdered,
Mech said with an ashen face.